Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and praise the Lord. Thank God for another beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us to see. Thank God for this opportunity to come together again, to fellowship, to worship, to study God's word, to testify, hopefully to be a blessing to someone in the kingdom of the Lord as we come here to study God's word and share in what the Lord has for us. Was unable to be here last Wednesday night. It was we had storms in the area, thunderstorms. And since I do this via the internet, I didn't want to take the chance of lightning coming through, the wires striking the computers, and while I'm wearing a headset. So out of safety reasons, we did not have the Bible study on last week. As one thing about it with lightning, I think I have my computer grounded pretty good now after the I think I've lost three over the years due to lightning. Last one I had, I was going to get around to grounding it, but I never did ground the case. And so lightning took it out, took the monitor out for a couple of months, and miraculously the monitor started working again, plug it up. It began to work and is working perfectly. But the CPU, the computer unit, never did come back to life. It was shot. And so lightning is, you know, it will sometimes come through our electronics during electrical storms. It wasn't none of those were direct hits. More of a static energy from a lightning storm, but you know, still I chose not to take chances. You know, lightning, it kills. Even when you're on the telephone talking, start noticing it's thundering and lightning, you need to get off the phone. Some of us, you know, especially if you're using a landline phone, again, the lightning can come through the wiring. The strange thing about lightning when it travels is it sometimes travels and it doesn't harm anything until it reaches a stopping point. And I think about my computer, it was coming through that phone line and through the internet line. And my computer was the last thing. So what I mean, I have a network cable plugged into a router. The router wasn't damaged. And so had a cable from the wireless router into the computer. And so the router was not damaged by the lightning because, I guess, the lightning still traveling. But when it got to the computer, that was the last stop, hit the computer and died. And I thank God for that because that was the only thing that I lost. I have a couple of my radios hooked up to the computer. Also serve double duty when I'm operating ham radio. And so with that, I lost the computer, but thank goodness I didn't lose the radios. The They're much more expensive than the computer. But yeah, it was a couple of years ago. We're back up, and just thank God for it. So I was just being safe. Praise God. Thank you as you're coming in online tonight. Let us have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another day that you have blessed us to see. We thank you for watching over us. We thank you for keeping us in perfect peace. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for keeping us through the storms and through the trials that we have been going through. We have been beaten. We've been battered by the enemy and by situations, but we just thank God that you have kept us, that you brought us out, and that you are going to let us remain victorious. Dear Lord, we ask that you bless us as we study your word tonight, as we share in your scripture. We ask that you send your anointing. We ask that you would touch us today. Lord, those who are sick and shut in, we pray that you would touch their bodies. Those who are going through personal situations, we ask that you take them through those things, that you bless your people, that you give your people the desires of their heart. We just pray for healing. We pray for strength. We pray for wisdom. We pray for guidance. We even pray for our nation, that our nation would turn back to you, that our nation would be willing to hear the word of God. And as one said in the New Testament, what do I need to do in order to be saved? Lord, we thank you now. In Jesus' name, thank God and amen. Praise God. Tonight, going to the scripture, get your Bible, going to Luke, the 8th chapter. The topic was tonight, continuing on with the thought that we had a couple of weeks ago, where do we go from here? Where does the church go from here? We're having all types of controversy. I was sharing with the church Sunday. As I was sharing with the church on Sunday, it was amazing that last week we kept seeing in the news from all around the country different pastors being arrested and accused of sleeping with minors, impregnating young ladies, and then impregnate them, sleeping with them, impregnating the teenagers, and then arranging for abortions. Just sin is so rampant that we commit one sin and then commit another, trying to cover up the misdeeds and the other sins. So sin has a way of multiplying in our life when we don't stop what we're doing, when we don't confess our sins, we don't ask the Lord to forgive us, we don't become converted and turn from our evil ways, our wicked ways, we don't make a decision to stop doing what we're doing and calling on God and asking him to help us to be the overcomer and help us to move on in our lives and move to be what God has designed for us to be. And so the natural state, the enemy convinces us that we can continue in sin, and then we just abound in sin. To continue in sin, you have to go the extra mile, and then you try to cover up your tracks. And when you cover up the tracks, and after you've covered up the tracks, guess what? You still have left some tracks behind, and all you've done, you covered up to a point, but you can never cover up all your tracks, because you reach a point where the last place that you stand, that's where your tracks are going to be. Sin causes us to paint ourselves into a corner. In other words, we have so much room that we feel that we can operate in. But what we're doing, we're just filling up the room, and before we know it, we find ourselves in a corner, no way out. But glory be to God, one way out is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's what we need to focus on, is that God does not want us to be willfully sinning, but he wants us to come to him. He wants us to be victorious. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to grow in grace. And when the enemy does get to us, when the devils do get to us and draw our attention away from God, and we start focusing on the enemy, we start focusing on the things of the world, we start focusing on pleasures other than what God has intended for his people, and we get into that situation where we stumble and we fall. We don't really stumble, we just walk into it. But we get into those situations where we have willfully gone and committed acts of sin. We have to come to a realization that sin is sin, what we did was wrong, and we need to repent and ask God to forgive us and make a decision and have a mind not to get in that same sinful situation. In other words, we have to reach a point where we have become victorious in those weak areas in our lives, and we can get to the point where we can tell the enemy, well, you're going to have to come with a new trick because I'm not going to fall for that anymore. And the devil is always going to bring a temptation. He's always going to try to get us to fall, or as he did try to do with Job, he's going to try to make us curse God. But one thing that we as God's people realize is that the enemy is defeated. Japanese soldiers at the end of World War II, some of them were hiding on these different islands in the Pacific and had no communication with Japan, had no communication with Tokyo. And here they were fighting, and they were hiding in the woods, fighting as guerrilla fighters. Well, America had dropped a bomb on a couple of the Japanese cities. Japan had surrendered. But these soldiers who were on these different islands in the Pacific that had once had the Japanese Army and Navy had once had control over these islands, they lost control, and some of the soldiers fled, able to get away. Some were captured and taken to prison camps. And you had a few on these islands who escaped into the woods, escaped into the jungles, and were not captured. But they continued to fight because they didn't know that the war was over. They didn't know that their side had lost, and they were in a survival mode. And during survival mode, they tried to hide and stay low, but as these islands were being rebuilt and replenished from the bombs and all of these other tragedies that had hit these islands, they started invading the places where these soldiers who were still thinking that the war was going on, who started invading their areas where they were hiding, and then they started fighting people who did not look like them. In other words, they would take pot shots, they would fight in guerrilla style, trying to survive without being captured. And so this is how the enemy is operating. Satan and his hordes are operating. They know that they're defeated. They they read it in the Word of God. what the end is going to be. They know they're defeated when Christ rose from the dead and walked on the earth for a few days and then ascended into heaven and sitting on the right hand of the Father. Satan knows he's defeated. His those angels that followed him know they're defeated, but because they have not been put all the way down, they still, like these Japanese soldiers, they're still putting up resistance. They're still fighting, and they have made up in their mind a decision. If I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to try my best to destroy God's creation. And so this is what the enemy tries to do. He tries to destroy what God has created. We're living in these last times, we're living in these last days, and scripture tells us how the enemy will go all out. And even though he knows that he's defeated, he's still going to try to destroy as much of what God has created and what God has designed. It wants to be like a spoiled brat, playing the game of checkers, playing the game of chess, playing the game of dominoes or whatever, and sees that all his moves are up, still has men on the board, but he realizes that all of his moves are up. Whatever move he makes is going to result in capture of his pieces, and then he realizes that I'm stuck, I'm hung up, there's no other move that I can make, I can't get out of this situation. So that individual gets mad and flips over the checkerboard, flips over the domino table, flips over the chessboard, because they realize that there is no way out, there is no hope, and what they are doing will not give them victory. And so they try to upset their opponents by this unsportsmanlike conduct and make everybody as miserable as they are. But even though the enemy knows that all his moves are really up, He doesn't have any more moves. He's still trying to destroy all that he can. He's trying to take the joy from God's people. He's trying to make people curse God. He's trying to make God's people turn away from God. But we who are children of God, we have to stay with God. Stick with the Lord. God has brought us this far. And we should realize that he's brought us this far, that the Lord will continue to keep us. He will continue to bless us. He will continue to strengthen us. And we shall grow in grace. Praise God. Going to the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, and beginning at the 4th verse. Where does the church, where do we go from here? And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he said these things, he cried, "He that have ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said unto you, "It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among the thorns are they which have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now we look at the scripture tonight in Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 4 through 15. As Jesus gives this parable, he mentions a sower who has the seed. There's one thing about a sower, a farmer, one who's planting. They basically use, they don't have different qualities of seed. Now, when you're farming, you can buy seed of various qualities. You can buy a low-grade seed, and you can buy a high-grade seed. The high-grade seed, quite naturally, is going to cost more, but it has been specially treated that it can withstand certain diseases that might hit during that growing season. And the higher the grade of seed, the probability of the yield is also greater. And so when you buy seed, you can buy it in various grades. Now, you can go, you want to plant a garden, you can go to the Dollar General store or Family, well, I don't know about Family Dollar, but I do know at Dollar General you can go and you can buy these seeds that's on this little carousel. You can buy flower seeds, you can buy vegetable seeds, cucumbers, tomatoes, whatever you want to plant. You can buy these seeds and you can put them in pots and grow flowers and vegetables. You can plant them in a garden. You can grow. But the quality of seed that the dollar store sells is a much lower quality of seed than the farmer's co-op would sell or the feed store would sell. But both will grow fruit. Both will produce. But you'll get a better yield when you use the better grade of seed. So you can go to Dollar General and you may catch 4 packs of seeds for $1. I don't know the price of those seeds, but when I was a child, not necessarily a child, but when I was younger, you go to the dollar store and you can get 10 packs of seeds for $1. So you spend $1, you can get 10 different varieties if that's what you wanted. But those seeds, you're really were taking a chance with those seeds. And so you did better planting those seeds in pots and that were close to your house, pots where you could water those yourself instead of putting them out in the field and as we say, depending on God to water instead of waiting on the rain. So you plant those low quality seeds in pots close to your house where you're going to notice them, where you're going to frequently give them water, where you can buy the fertilizer and put that fertilizer in the soil where it could get to the root, and that seed would grow because you are giving it personal attention. You're giving it more attention than you would give the seed out there in the field. A seed in the field, the attention that you give it, you go and you chop around it, you chop the weeds away, you chop the grasses as it grow, but you don't really fertilize it that often. You don't water it. A lot of times we just depend on the rain from the Lord to water and to make it grow. But if you take the dollar store seed and put it out in the garden, your yield is going to be skippy. You'll have some that will come up and you'll have some that won't. But when the sower farmer plants, he used the seed of the same quality. In other words, he doesn't mix his dollar store seed in with the co-op store seed, the high price seed. He's going out into that field with the same quality of seed. So Jesus is giving this parable, the sower is using the same quality of seed. He's not taking a weak quality seed. He's not taking a seed that has been devalued. He's not taking an old seed. He's not taking a crippled seed, but he's taking a healthy and vibrant seed, but he's not planting necessarily in rows like we plant now, but he's sowing in the broadcast method. And when you sow in the broadcast method, the sower just puts some seed in his hand and he just starts slinging it. And when you're slinging it in broadcast method, you don't get an even pattern of seed going into different places. You throw it out. Three seeds may land together here. Seven seeds may land together there. 12 seeds may land together in another spot. In other spots, one seed by itself. But if you were planting on the row, you'd probably put at least three seeds in each spot and then cover that with dirt. Why would you use three? You'd plant three in the hopes of at least one coming up. Preferably, you're hoping that all three come up. But even if all three come up, you'll have to make a decision as to thin one out because, again, you'll have three plants in the ground fighting for the same amount of water later on during the growing season. And so if you have three plants in that spot and you have three plants fighting for the water, then instead of having a three vibrant plants, you end up with three plants that are scrawny and not producing a real good yield because they are dividing up the nutrients among themselves. But those spots where you only have one plant in that hole that's coming up from that hole, rather, is not sharing any nutrients with another plant, and it will grow stronger and it will produce more. So this farmer had the same value seed, good seed, expensive seed, and notice how he's sowing. It says that he's sowing on the broadcast method, and so the seed is falling in different places. So some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, fell by the wayside, fell outside of the ground that had been planted. It fell outside of the garden, and where it fell in a path where people would walk. And the seed that was on the outside of the field, outside of the garden, it got walked on. Well, it got walked on. Some of it, those seeds that got walked on, probably may have gotten pushed in the ground. Got pushed in the ground, and the rain fell on it. These plants were ready to grow, but they were on a path that was well-traveled, and they would not get a chance to grow because once they broke that soil, you would have people walking in that area, and they would step on the plant, and they would crush it, and they would kill it, and then it would not grow. And then by the wayside, some outside of the garden, what wasn't pushed down into the ground, the birds got on the ground and they started eating it. Then it said some fell up on a rock. In other words, falling on the ground instead of falling on soil where it could be covered and it could be watered and grow. Some of the seed fell up on rock. And so as it began to grow, the root did not grab hold to the dirt in which it was planted. The root grabbed hold to the rock. And when it grabbed hold to the rock, it started growing. But it will only grow in the early spring season when rain is constantly falling. But as the rainy season began to wane, then that which was seed that was sown on the rock, it stopped being watered as much, and now it had to depend, like the other seeds, on gathering moisture out of the ground. Because it was up on a rock, it did not have access to the moisture underground, and so it withered and died because of a lack of moisture. Then it says some fell among thorns. In other words, it fell in an area where the thorns were going to be. Now, it was still in soil. It was still in dirt when the seed was sown, when it was planted, when it was, and by the broadcast method, when it was sown, there was no visible thorns. But what happened, the seed started growing, and this is, and you have to understand, in agriculture, things grow at a slower pace. In other words, you can grow, weeds will grow quick. The things that you did, that you desire to have, those things that you put an effort to grow, those things take patience, they take time, they take work. And so in other, you plant your tomato seeds, you have to work them. You plant your peas, your beans, whatever, your onion, your cabbage, you have to work those things. You have to put forth some effort. You have to put forth some sweat. But if you growing weeds, you don't have to do anything to grow weeds. You don't have to plant. You don't have to water. You don't have to put forth an effort. You just don't do anything, and the weeds will grow. And so these weeds will grow at a much rapid pace than these desirous seeds, the seeds that you desire to plant. And so some of these seeds fell up on the thorns. The plants start growing, but then guess what? The thorns, the weeds came up quicker and end up choking the plant out. Why? Because the thorns were vying for the same water source as these plants, as these other seeds, these the plants that came from these seeds that the sower had sown. So you had the thorns and this good seed, these good plants vying for the same moisture from the same ground of soil. And the weeds having had the ability to grow faster, their roots would go a little deeper, and so their roots would get to the water first and end up choking out this good seed. And it said in verse 8, the other seed fell on good ground, it sprang up, and it bare fruit. So it was good seed planted in good ground. It sprang up, it bare, it brought forth fruit 100-fold. And the disciples asked him, said, Jesus, What is this parable about? Talking about sowing seed. And verse 10, he says, and he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to others I have to teach them in parables, because they're seeing, they might not see, and hearing, they might not understand. Jesus said in verse 11 that the seed that he's talking about is the word of God. Now, this word of God goes everywhere. It goes outside of the field. It goes up on rocky places. It goes where the thorns are going to grow. It also goes into prepared places. So you have the seed, which is the word of God. Jesus said in chapter 8, verse 12, in Luke, he says, those by the wayside, in other words, the ones that fallen on the wayside, the child person who's by on the wayside and not on the ground of the Lord, those by the wayside are they that hear. You hear the word of God. You notice all of us hear the word of God. Yeah, sometimes we run into situations where people have never experienced church. Early on when we started pastoring and witnessing into the community, bringing people into the house of the Lord, there was one young man who really had never really been to church. And so you have people who don't hear too much of God, depending upon their circumstances, depending upon their family situations. And so they may have been raised in a house where people have little regard for the Lord. And so you have people who don't hear about God as much. And the only thing they hear about God is when someone is cursing and taking the name of the Lord in vain. But in this 12th verse, Jesus said, those by the wayside are they that hear. They hear the word of God, but when they hear it, here comes the devil. And the devil, he says, taketh away the word out of their heart. So they heard the word, but the word did not get a chance to be planted in their heart. And so you had the word in their hearts, you had the world in their hearts, you had the lust of the flesh in their heart. And so here comes the devil with the temptation, and here comes the devil with these thoughts. And since the word of God is not in their heart, then the devil is able to deceive and trick them before they get an opportunity to believe God's word and be saved. And so when we're witnessing to people, that's why it's everyone we witness to does not respond in a positive way to the word of God, because even though they might be hearing the words that we're saying, they might have heard the message that we have given, but before this word has a chance to take hold in their lives, here comes the devil with some mess. Bible says every fool shall be meddling. Here comes the devil with trouble. Here comes the devil tearing up their home. Here comes the devil getting their children in trouble. Here comes the devil causing different types of havoc in their lives. And so these people who have heard the word, the enemy has attacked them through their family or whatever, other ways that the enemy will come at them. And so they get more focused on trying to deal with life rather than grabbing hold to life, which is the word of God. And the enemy works them back out into the world. And so they become more focused on the world rather than the word of God that they've heard, and had not let that word of God taken root where they can believe the word of God and be saved. They're hearing the word but not believing it because they haven't given this word of God a chance to grow in their lives. And this is where one of the things that we sometimes as God's people get discouraged with others is because we're thinking that they should have the same faith that we have, that they should have what we have, and we're trying to increase their faith. We're trying to get them to a point to be where we are. But everybody that hears the word of God, their faith has not yet been built up. Some have heard the word but have no faith and have not done as the disciples did. And they came to Jesus and said, "Lord, increase our faith." And so the enemy is able to draw these back into the world and draw them away from God and God's kingdom and draw them away from the church before the word of God takes root into their lives. Verse 13, he said, "They that are on the rock," said, "the seed that fell on the rock, as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture." Jesus said, "They on the rock are they, when they hear the word, when they hear, receive the word with joy." Oh, my goodness. But they've heard the word, receive it with joy, get excited, start shouting, start praising God, start dancing. But he said, "And these have no root." In other words, they've heard the word, they got excited with the word, they liked how the preacher was, and a yes, and they liked the choir singing, they enjoyed the tune that the preacher was delivering the word of God in, and they were happy hearing these things, but they did not have a they were not rooted in God's word. They were rooted in the sound. They were rooted in the music. They were rooted in the tune of how the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist delivered the word. And they were happy for a while, but they were not rooted in God. They were not rooted in God's word. And so when temptation comes, they were not able to stand, and they allowed temptation to bring them out of the will of God. You've seen it. You've seen it time and time again. People get saved, and you think that they have been delivered. They're in church. They are seemingly faithful in church. They're coming to Sunday school. They're coming to morning worship. There's around the church doing things to beautify the building, to help with the upkeep of the building. But then you look around and you can't find them anymore because what has happened, temptation has been strong in their life and God doesn't see them anymore because the enemy has allowed their hearts to be drawn away and drawn back into the world. In the time of temptation, Jesus said they fall away. And the next one, he said, some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up and choked it. Verse 14, Jesus says this, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked, cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." So he said, then you have some who hear the word of God, they're joyful about the word of God, and then they try to go forth in the word of God. But while they're going forth, what happens, the enemy presents to them problems, or he presents to them riches. He presents to them things which will take their mind off of fulfilling the gospel, fulfilling the purpose that God has for their life. And they begin to get caught up in the pleasures of life. They begin to get caught up in thinking about what they can have rather than being concerned about what does God want from me? What does God want me to do? And they've gone, and Jesus said they bring no fruit to perfection. In other words, they're in limbo, spiritual limbo. Heard the word, moving forth in the word, but not bringing forth fruit, in spiritual limbo. And then he said, the other fell on good ground, sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And verse 15, Jesus said, but on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. In other words, we hear the word of God, we stick with the word of God, we obey the word of God, and we begin to bring fruit into perfection. There's one thing about the word of God. It tells us what to do. The word of God shares with us how we should live. The word of God, it encourages us. The word of God lets us know what we're doing, even though God will be pleased. The enemy will be angry, and the enemy will be aggressive toward us. And as you grow in faith and grow in the knowledge of the Lord, you'll see later on in life that the enemy really won't even, he'll reach a point where he doesn't bother you much. Reach a point where he doesn't really attack you much. That he doesn't bring personal attacks to you, but how he attacks you through others. The people that you care about, he attacks them and calls them to lash out against you. He attacks those you love and causes sickness and other things to fall upon them and get you worried and get you panic and get you to the point where you become discouraged in God's word. And so the enemy, he practices on defeating you. But as we grow in grace, the enemy has less of a hold on us. And so what the enemy then turns is to, like the woman with the issue of blood, and the woman with the issue of blood, where the scripture said that, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. In other words, if I can touch what's touching him, I'll be blessed. And so the Satan operates the same way with us who are believers. If he can't touch us, he'll touch that which is touching us, which is our family, which is our friends, which are our loved ones, which are our church. He will start bothering those things in order to get to us, to make us discouraged. And so, but we who are on good ground, honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So where do we go from here? Well, we have to go where Jesus directs us. And so the word of God lets us know, hear the word, trust the word, believe the word, and bring forth fruit. Let us reach out to others. Let us, yes, there are so many in the world who are on the path to destruction. They're on their way to hell, but everybody's not going to hell. There will be those who will hear the word of God and turn around. But just like the seed in this parable, you see the seed fell in, excuse me, you see that the seed fell in four different places. Jesus giving this parable, this seed falls in four different places. 100% of this ground is covered. Even more than 100%, because not only is the ground that has been prepared covered, but some of it ends up falling beyond that which has been prepared, and it falls by the wayside. And so you have this seed falling in four different places, but in only one place is this seed really taking root, growing, maturing, and producing more seed. In other words, this farmer planted this good seed, but only a fourth of it, only 25% of it, ended up producing the farmer desired that it would produce. So it's with us the same way that we will try to warn people, we try to draw people to Christ, we witness to them, we teach them the word of God, but probably 25%, if they stay, that's along the line of Scripture. When I say stay, I'm talking about becoming this child of God with an honest and good heart, having the word, keeping it, and then bringing forth fruit. That's why people are constantly in the church and out the church, because they are like the seed that has fallen among the thorns. They have a root, believe for a while, shout a little bit, because there is no root really when trouble comes. They're gone. Things, they get caught up and focus on the things of the world, things of life. Get caught up focusing on money and other things and not being focused in on the word of God. These things hurt us as God's people. And so sometimes as God's people, we get caught up in life and trying to provide for our family, trying to make our ends meet, that we sometimes fail to cry aloud and spare not. We fail to give warning to the world. And understand this, each time we fail to give warning, then there are people who have lost an opportunity to hear the word from us, and they're falling by the wayside, they're dying and going to hell. And so we, as God's people, we have to be concerned about souls, and that we're trying to win souls for the kingdom. And I'm not talking about our own little kingdoms, not talking about our own congregations, but we're trying to win souls to the kingdom of God. Where do we go from here? Let us go back to witnessing. Let us go back to reaching out to others. Let us go toward reaching those in the world, going to the hedges and highways and compelling them to come into God's house. Will everybody come? No. Will everybody hear the word of God? No. But still, the Lord leaves it to us to do his will and to obey his word. And when we do that, one day when we stand before the Lord would tell us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joy of the Lord." And all of us want to hear the Lord tell us, "Well done, well done, well done." Well, that's going to bring close. I thank you for coming online tonight. I thank you for your prayers. I ask that you continue to pray for me, and thank God that I'm still losing weight. Thank God for that. And until next week, next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock p.m., we'll have Bible study again. Also, join us Sunday 10 o'clock for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for morning worship. You listening to this Bible study later on during the week. Also, remember that you can donate using the Cash App. Young people, that's what they're using, this Cash App. And so for me, it's the dollar sign Pastor W. Brooks. And also the fourth Sunday at 2:30 p.m., we will be with the Williams Chapel AME Church on Navy Road in Millington, Tennessee. And that service will be at 2:30 p.m., fourth Sunday in the afternoon as they celebrate Men's Day. Come and be with us and come and share with us. Again, God bless you. Thank you. We're still praying for you. And until next week, we'll see you then. God bless.